Well, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for these daily challenges. These challenges are meant to help people learn what it means to follow Jesus, even as we go about a busy commuting lifestyle, which can certainly make it hard. But if you've never explored what following Jesus means in the first place in any context, I'd encourage you to check out our Christianity 101 course first. It'll give you a lot of the basic concepts that we try to build on in these challenges. We follow a weekly rhythm. Mondays, we introduce a new idea. Tuesdays, we look at it in the Bible. Wednesdays, we see how that might change us. Thursdays, we act on it. Fridays, we reflect and pray before a day of rest on Saturday. And then Sunday is a great day for community. Often looks like community at home, but Christian community as well. And if you don't have a Christian community at present, we're starting a new one in Ajax. In about a year, we'll be having our first big public gathering. And if you'd like to know more about how to help us get that started, please do get in touch with me. I'd love to hear from you. I know a growing number of people are following these daily challenges and becoming part of our community, and you're encouraged to do that by sharing it with somebody you know. If you find these daily challenges or the courses in our mobile app and community to be helpful, then share it with somebody, maybe from your train or bus, or somebody from your neighborhood or your workplace. Start following the same content together and discussing whenever you're together. It'd be a great way to grow a friendship and also to discuss real life together. Commute. Today's Wednesday, so today's the day that we take the topic we've been looking at. We try to go into it in a bit more depth and see how it might change our thoughts or behaviors. We looked yesterday at the topic of truth-telling and how Jesus was teaching that truth-telling was important, even when others were saying it wasn't. The Old Testament clearly said that to break a promise was clearly wrong. But the scribes and Pharisees, the religious teachers of Jesus' day, were teaching that you could break promises under certain circumstances. They were saying that it depended on what you vowed upon. If you made a promise and you included God's name, well, you had to keep it. But if you vowed by something else, well, you could get away with it. Here's how Jesus responded to that. "But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black." Jesus is basically saying that this makes no sense, the way people are picking and choosing what kind of oaths they should believe in or not. He says it makes no sense because God created everything. So if you swear by the heavens that he created or by the earth he created, it doesn't really matter. The heavens are like God's throne, the earth is like God's footstool. Basically, everything is God's cosmic lazy boy. When people swear on their head, well, God created them. It's kind of God's head. When people swear on a Bible today, it's God's book that they're swearing on. So basically, there's no way to swear upon anything in this world without it coming back to God in one way or another. Now, of course, today people use different sayings. They say, oh, cross my heart, or I swear on my mother's grave, or trust me. We say things like that today, but of course they all come back to God in one way or another and very seldom make sense. Just take, for example, the idea of swearing on your mother's grave. It makes it sound serious, doesn't it? But realistically, what does it mean? I don't even know. If it turns out somebody was lying who says that, what's going to happen to their mother's grave? Nothing. I hope. It's really an empty saying. All of these are. They're empty sayings that mean nothing, but somehow lend credibility to the actual claim that somebody's making. And yet, they distract from that claim. It's like the advertising we talked about on Monday. These great big claims that people make about their products and have to add, you know, 100% guarantee, or this will change your life, or your money back. All those sayings are just trying to distract you from the claim itself, which is sometimes impossible or at least incredible. There's no way to prove it or not, and so they distract you by making you pay attention to these incredible claims that the product doesn't actually support. Well, in the same way, when we say things that we don't expect others to really believe, we come up with these oaths to try to distract from the incredibility of it all. This is why Jesus says, you can't make an oath by your head. You can't change anything about your hair, whether it's white or black. These are in the days before hair dye. But Jesus is basically saying we don't have any control over these things. When we say we're going to swear on our mother's grave or on heaven or on earth or any of these things that Jesus was pointing out, these are things we can't change. Either we mean it or we don't. When we use oaths, promises, guarantees to try to convince people we're telling the truth, it seems to be all based on the assumption that nobody's going to believe us. And why is that? And so today's question for you to consider is, when we use oaths like these ones, why do we simply assume people won't believe our words? Have a great time exploring that, either alone or with some friends. I'll see you tomorrow.